A very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your yarning circle, the deadly grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry. Coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM Bumper Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have your say in yarn up strong. That's deadly number again, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the beautiful country. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have your say in yarn up strong, you mob. Now, First Nations social enterprise keeping young people out of jail through connection to country. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Robert Davis, as one Yinitin co-founder and program director on the line. We have Robert. Very good morning, Robert. How are you? Hello, Robert. Robert's not there. We'll try to get Robert back, but let me give you a bit of background regarding the yarn there with Robert. Balladong elder Trevor Davis has lived a storied life. The Norman man grew up in a one-horse town throughout the Whitbell, often living and working off the land. Mr. Davis was taught how to hunt and farm by his father and now passes that knowledge on to the next generation. With this place, young people come in and we teach them what we know. Mr. Davis says, it's coming from what I learned when I was a young fellow. Mr. Davis is a cultural elder as one Yintin, a First Nation organization found in 2015, the goal of keeping young people away from justice system. More than 2,000 people have since participated in cultural programs throughout the organization, which is run entirely by First Nation people. Look, we'll try and catch up with the brother. We'll try again with Robert, see if he's on it. Hello, Robert? No, Robert's not there. Try and phones are playing up. Good morning. Stay tuned. We'll yarn soon, you mob. Too deadly. Yeah, the beautiful voice there, that's all of Mitch Tambo, Great Southern Land, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in yarn up strong. We're going to catch up a yarn with Robert Davis as one Yintin co-founder and program director and talk about the First Nations social enterprise, keeping young people out of jail through connection to country. On the line, we have Robert. Good morning.
Good morning, Trev. How you going?
Brother, I'm well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm going really well for a Monday.
Yeah, good, brother. Good, good. Before we start, let the mob know. Rob, who your mob? Where are you from, cuss?
From Northam, so Balladong country, connected to Ewart. Because dispossession of our old people, yeah, I'm covered sort of all of WA. So it's from up north all the way up wide to Warburton. So, yeah, where we say where we are now is a collective. But, yeah, Northam is where I'm born and bred.
Good.
And family everywhere, so yeah.
Too deadly, my brother. Now, we're talking about First Nations social enterprise, keeping young people out of jail through connection to country. Look, it sounds like the best ingredient in the world, my brother. So give us a bit of background regarding this fantastic program, brother.
Yeah, well, we've been established for about 8 years now, so we're currently based up in Northam, and we just opened a couple of weeks ago our Jiriji Maya, which is the home of the Zamia, so the most ancient plant in the world coincides with Aswa Nyiting. So Aswa Nyiting is our dreaming in our Noongar tongue.
Yes.
And from the cold times, brother. So we've been around for a little while doing programs and trying to keep young people, but families on empowerment. You know, empower our mob to be strong and stand up for what we believe in. You know.
Yeah, fantastic, brother. And with this fantastic program, is it open to girls and boys?
Yeah, so we invite everybody.
Good.
We invite, you know, families is
okay.
Is that wraparound service, because as we find, Trev, is our mob, you know, our old people, our elderly are looking after our young people.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Trying to inspire and empower our parents, you know. So, yeah, it is a collective across. But what we always say is try and be, you know, best versions of yourselves in
yes.
community, you know.
Yeah, deadly, brother. Now, do the participants need to be from your nation as such? You there, Rob? Rob. Oh, I lost Rob. Hello, Rob. Oh, look, we'll try and get Rob back. That's Robert Davis, as Wan Yintin, as he mentioned, the co-founder and program director. And as I said, more than 2,000 people have since participated in cultural programs throughout the organization, which is run entirely by First Nation people. And look, a very successful program, running 8 years. And this is something that's fantastic and great, and it should be templated across the country with TOs, traditional owners, operating on country, keeping it young. When we look at youth crime that's happening, our young ones have lost connection, and they use this as a platform to make that connection, which is fantastic. We'll try again with Brother Robert very soon, but stay tuned. Your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Tell them all to say it. Don't wait. If you hesitant, I'ma go ahead and take it. Move, mate. Bet you wishing that you didn't miss it, but it's too late. Top spot, we got it covered like a 2K. Yeah, that mean you under me, homie, so how my shoes taste? Okay, let's get the business. Everybody wanna get comfy until the gear shift. And everybody on my team fearless. Baby, on the way, no more waiting, I go to get this. So tell my man I got it, give me a minute with this shit. I guarantee we be popping. Got this shit locked in the pocket. On the spree we be shopping. Whatever we need, I ain't stopping till the day I can cop it. I'm on it. Shout out all my family, I've been way too busy. Shout out all my people that be really with me. I just wanna ball and put on for my city. Tell them get a ticket, take a listen, cause we own one. Shout out all my family, I've been way too busy. Shout out all my people that be really with me. I just wanna ball and put on for my city. Now they wanna call and talk a minute, cause we own one. Want some, go ahead and get your own one.
Yeah, to Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. 1-800-422-416, number you need to call if you're going to have your say. Yana with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji Country, BBM Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yana, I'm strong in your mob. Now, the role of an emergency medical dispatcher and call taker. We're going to catch up with Yana with Brina Keating, Executive Manager, QAS Cairns Region, on the line. Brina, very good morning. How are you? You there, Brina?
Yes, I am.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. Now, you're based here in Cairns?
Yes, I am.
Now, we're talking about the role of an emergency medical dispatcher and call taker. So tell us about this fantastic career opportunity. And tell us about how long you've been in the job and what you actually do there, please, sister.
Yeah, thanks, Trevor. So we are recruiting at the moment for emergency call takers and dispatchers. So we have a call centre here in Cairns. There's multiple call centres across the state, but we're specifically recruiting for our operations centre. So, you know, basically what we do is the call goes through Telstra to 000 and then it's routed through to here in Cairns, and we take emergency calls. So when you're in your hour of need and needing an ambulance, we pick up that phone call and we ask a series of questions, and then our dispatchers dispatch the ambulances. So we have an operations centre that we obviously 24/7. So we are actually having an open night this Wednesday. Because this role is not a well-known role, often you see the paramedics driving around in ambulances, and there's actually a different stream within the ambulance service, which is the emergency medical dispatchers and call takers, and it is an entry-level position, so you actually don't need to have prior experience or a degree. We do all on-the-job training. So
okay. So you don't have no qualification needed. People just apply, throw the hat in the ring, and see what happens.
Yeah, so we're looking for people that, you know, a bit of life experience. If you're a good multi-skiller and you can communicate well and you can, you know, connect with our with the people that, you know, in their hour of need. You know, yes. Most people only call an ambulance once in their life. So,
sure.
Yeah.
So it's about, what you said, well, a bit of life skills, and because we're talking about keeping the caller calm, because they're calling you for an emergency, aren't they? So you need to be calm in that sense as well, don't you?
Yeah, really calm and, you know, build a rapport with the caller. And, you know, we provide, you know, it's competency-based training. So you go to Brisbane for 7 weeks, and then when you come back, you're mentored for a minimum of a certain amount of shifts for call taking and then dispatch. So it's a very, very supportive environment. And, you know, we've always got a supervisor on, so you're never alone. And it's an excellent team environment, and just... you know, we're there to support each other, and it's a great place to work.
Brenda, it can turn into a career pathway, can't it? And once you got these skills, well, you get a job with ambulance across the country, if not the world, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have accreditation as well, and we're constantly updating and upskilling, and, if you want an environment where you're constantly learning and you know, no shift is the same. You could take a call one day for a chest pain, and the next day you might be delivering a baby. But we've got excellent systems in place where we, you know, you're never alone, and you're there, and we support all of our, you know, emergency medical dispatchers and call takers. So it's a very, very rewarding career, and it's different to being a paramedic. It is a different career stream within the ambulance, and that's why I thought I'd jump on today and let you know that we're having this open night on Wednesday at 5 o'clock on Anderson Street at the ambulance station here in Cairns.
At the ambulance station to all the local mob here in Cairns. There's a great opportunity. You can turn up. So it's an open night, so you have the discussion. You guys give a description of the job, so to speak, and then people can fill in applications. Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's correct. And we'll take you through the operations centre, and you can actually see in the live environment what we do. So you can have a look online through the Queensland Ambulance website. All the information is there, and applications are currently open. But if you want to hold off, that's okay. You can just come along and ask questions and see if this is a job for you.
And what's the job description? What's the title of the job?
It's an emergency medical dispatcher and call
emergency
taker.
Emergency medical dispatcher and call taker. Okay, fantastic. Yeah. And so with that, they're never required to be in the ambulance out on the road, do they? They're call takers, emergency dispatchers.
No, there's not. No, that's a completely separate, different position. It's a different part of the organisation, but we're all connected and supporting each other. Yeah.
Cool. Fantastic. Well, great. We'll let the people know that, but thank you very much. That's happening this Wednesday, 5 o'clock, and at the centre there on Anderson Street, is that right?
That's correct, yeah, the ambulance station. And I'll be there, and I'm happy to take any questions. And, just come along. There's no pressure. You don't have to sign up for anything. It's just to come and meet and greet and see what we do. So thank you so much for your time today, Trevor. And the listeners as well, I do appreciate it.
Brenda, thank you. A great opportunity. All the best to you and your team. We'll talk soon, Brenda. Thank you.
Thanks, Trevor. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Adele Yanda, Brenda Keating, her name is, and she's with the Cairns Operations Centre, so all your local mob here in Cairns. Need a bit of colour there on the other end of the phone, so there it is, a great opportunity. Wednesday, 5 o'clock, this Wednesday coming, 4250 Anderson Street, Manunda, and that's at the ambulance centre there on Anderson Street there. So do check it out, your mob. great opportunity. Looking at figures here as well. Salary range from $56,472 to $75,295 per annum. So a good money there. A good opportunity for operating in that space in a career pathway. So do have a look at it. By all means, change is good. If you're doing what you're doing now and probably don't like it, change, you're not a tree. Look at an opportunity. Have you seen Jan Upstrong here, National Tall Black, 1-800-422-416.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
When I try to get you off my mind, I can't seem to fight these feelings I've been trying to hide. I get high just from the thought of you, an addiction that I really, really like, and I can't control. When I try to get you off my mind, I can't seem to fight these feelings I've been trying to hide. I get high just from the thought of you, an addiction that
girls, you know how we do, yeah.
Just tell them don't worry about us, cause we got that vibe and we got that
okay,
trust,
okay, okay, yeah, you give me that vibe, yeah. And it's enough to get higher, yeah. So I'ma tell them don't worry about us, cause we got that vibe and we got that trust, yeah. You know you the one, yeah, you got it all. Don't need to meet me outside, I'll be at the door. We mata cruise to the night, sit up city lights. Like I'm damning you wide, why you
when
say
I
to
try
bright,
to
yeah,
get
yeah.
you off my mind. These feelings I've been trying to hide. I get high just from the thought of you, an addiction that I really, really like, and yeah. I can't control.
I'ma ring your line like, baby, what you tryna do? I'ma pick you up and in my Ranger we'll cruise. Let's go, Sister Fefe is the name. I'll be kicking back, I ain't playing no games. But hold up, one sec, let me tell you something quick. That first little vest, yeah, I know it was sick. What I'm really tryna do is bring you over to the bay. We gon' party all night, sleep all day. But see, if you want, we can have it your way. Take a walk down the beach and just smile a day. We'll sit next to a buoy that'll keep us warm while we dance the night away and listen to this song. Put your hands up on my waist as I want it like that. Cause see, we got that vibe, we just got it like that. I'ma be his ride or die.
Yeah, to Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Yana with the Bully One here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns in New Dingy Country, BBM Bumblebee Media, 99.7 FM, and across the nation, thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yana Upstrong, to Daily Mob. Now, look, the loss of a great Australian statement by Reconciliation Australia on the passing of Yungupingu AM. News of the passing of the Gumbinju leader, Yungupungu, has left the reconciliation movement grieving. A member of the Council for Aboriginal Reconciliation from 1991 until 1996, Yungupungu was truly a monumental leader of his Yungul people and a tireless advocate for reconciliation and mutual respect. Reconciliation Australia enjoyed a warm and long-standing relationship with Yungupungu through our involvement in the Gama Festival and Yothi Yindi Foundation. His enormous contribution to the Australian public life was strengthened by his ability to operate with great skills and confidence in both the Yungul and Australian legal, cultural and political systems. He continuously reminded Australians of the complexity of his people, culture and the unyielded sovereignty they hold over their country. His experience as a 16-year-old witnessing Yungul people's wishes and laws arrogantly overridden when the Australian government granted mining leases to the Nableco Corporation shaped his life and leadership. Decades later, in his Vincent Lingerari Memorial Lecture, he said that his experience proved that the Yungul had no standing either as citizens of Australia or as people with our own law. We did not exist in a Balanda law. The Commonwealth government, the missionaries, the mining company all had power. We, the people of the land, had none. It was this story which saw Yungul people start his lifelong fight for land rights. Yungupu helped draw up the Yirrkala bark petitions, of which his father was signatory, in one of the key milestones of the Aboriginal land rights movement. The petitions were sent by the Yungup nation to the Australian Parliament, asserting sovereignty over their land and rejecting the federal government's rights to grant mining leases. In 1971, Yungupungal recorded a single Gurungi blues with a spoken introduction from Vincent Lingiari, highlighting the struggle of the Gurungi people to win back their lands from English pastoral giant Vesti Brothers. In 1978, he became the third Aboriginal person to win Australia of the Year and the first to do so for achievements outside of the sporting arena, when his brother, leader of the world-famous band Yothu Indi, was awarded the same honour in 1992. They became the only brothers to win Australia's highest award. In the Australian Day Honours, 1985, Yungupungu was made a member of the Order of Australia, AM, for his services to the Aboriginal community. His life of enormous achievement was further recognised when in 2013 he was awarded NAIDOC Lifetime Achievement Award. In 2015, he received the award of the Doctor of Laws Honoris Causa from the University of Melbourne. During the award ceremony, Professor Ian Anderson spoke of the fire he has lit that will blaze ever brighter until Indigenous people secure their self-evident rights to property, their own way of life, economic independence and control over their lives and the future of their children. And so with that, we send their love and their prayers and condolences to the family. Yungupungal, rest in peace. Have you say, you might be enough strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Say what I wanna hear, 'cause it's easier than saying. Complicated, and I hear you loud and clear when you say I'm overreacting, just sick of you asking me over and over. Then tell me it's over when I say it's complicated, when I don't reciprocate it.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Stepping out of shit you don't like. Moonwalk away from the truth like Mike. Sugar spike, light a better. It's pathetic, we desperate, we feeling reckless. I get it, we getting lost in the message. And you always talking shit when there's nothing to say. And when I need you to show up, you get lost in the days. Feeling trapped in a maze, I'm feeling so out of place. Feeling like a young prince getting caught in the rain. And you purple in the face when you holding your breath. And you chasing that high, crashing down like a jet. Turbulence, got a brother on the fence. Self-defense is full of fake. And you dancing with two lefts. You're my dog, I'm your vet. And you got nothing left, I put you down. Lately I've been dealing with my back against the ground. Feeling like they're Santa Claus and everything around. Gotta fix some sugar and you never make a sound. Sweet.
Sugar-coated lies, we don't wanna talk about it. Such a sweet disguise, and we just gonna dance around it.
Chasing that, chasing that, chasing that high. Dance around it, dance around it. Chasing that, chasing that, chasing that high. Dance around it, dance around it.
You if you don't fuck with yourself. I don't eat no sugar cause it's bad for my health. Keep that sweet simple shit out my ears, damn it's poison. Dulling my senses and numbing out choices. You running around voiceless, you loyal to a foe. Spinning those lies, got you trapped in a void. I'm told I'm cold, you sold your soul for gold. It's bold to shed your mold when your palm is a globe. And I wouldn't stop if I coulda. Blood sugar shoulda crashed when you feeding that trash. When you falling that fast, man, that shit is a blur. When I'm spilling this tea, damn, it's hard not to slur. Yeah, dance around the truth like a tango. Trying to unchain it like I'm Django.
Yeah, to Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Daily number here, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from McCurry. Coming live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns, on your dingy country. Us, BB and Bummer Bit Media, 99.7 FM, and we go across the nation, thanks to the National Radio Service. Now, a new First Nations exhibition opening up at the Australian Museum. That's Barker, The Forgotten River. Brings together works of artists and Bungija elder, Uncle Badger Bates, and visual artist Justine Muller to tell the stories of the magnificent Barker, which is the Darling River. With that, we're going to catch up a yarn there with Courtney Marsh, Australian Museum First Nations curator. On the line, Courtney, very good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Courtney?
So I'm Courtney Marsh, and I'm a Ningyumbul Nyuvanawati woman. So my people are from up at Tweetes, and yes, then also Turner Island of Vanuatu.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you. And look, we were yarning a couple of weeks ago about the fantastic exhibition. Been running now since Thursday, 16 March. It goes right through to Sunday, 23rd July. So tell us about the operation, the exhibition, and how has it been travelling?
The exhibition has been really successful so far. Good. Gotten a lot of good feedback.
Yes.
Do you want me to talk about what the actual exhibition is for those that don't
let's
know?
Do that. Yeah, let's do that. Thank you. Yeah. Been operating since 16 March, but tell us about the actual exhibition, please. Yes.
So the exhibition is called Barker, The Forgotten River, and it's all about what a lot of people now call the Darling, but
the Darling River
has always been and will always be the Barker.
Yes.
It was an exhibition that was developed by Uncle Badger Bates, who's a senior Barkindji man, water activist, law holder, just all around amazing man, and Justine Muller, who's a non-First Nations woman and artist from Sydney.
Mm.
And so anyway, they have been travelling this exhibition around. This is actually the eighth iteration of this exhibition, and it came to the Australian Museum, launched last month now, and had some significant changes to it as we added new content and actually some of the collection objects that we have on site as well to form this full story about the Barker and the current strife that it's in.
Look, it's one of the biggest rivers in this country. But when we talk about First Nation ownership, or Barker, which is the name of the river, and not the Darling River, it is powerful to our people.
Oh, it's incredibly powerful, and that's right. It's one of our most important rivers, and the actual, you know, the Murray-Darling catchment, that basin, is, you know, the most important basin that we have in Australia. It's, it its health directly impacts so much of our country. So if it starts to lose that health there, which it very much has, it's in a lot of stress at the minute, we all feel the impacts, and that's not just First Nations people, but you know, non-First Nations people, but also all of those animals and beings that live all through that country are all affected.
And so with the exhibition happening, it's also an educational vehicle, isn't it? So it's educating the people of the world, the people of Australia, black and white, government and what have you, what the Barker River means to the people, but also how it still flows today in 2023.
Yeah, definitely. We're hoping that this exhibition is a real call to action to have people think about the river and think about how important it is, and also consider the way that this management has occurred. And we see the same problem going on in, you know, country after country. All of our countries are damaged by mismanagement and not understanding, not respecting country. And so this is just one example. So we're hoping that people come into this space and they see, the impact that not caring for country can have. And hopefully start implementing, you know, First Nations, water management, sky management, land management, so that we can all have a better future, so that we can all start, you know, healing country, working with country, and not stop using country as a resource instead of as a, you know, a family member and an elder and a being in its own right.
Yeah, so true. And like I said, so we can all, flow together on the river for generations to come. We need to look after country.
Right.
We need to look after our waterways, don't we?
Definitely. And if you hear Uncle, he always talks about the river. He talks about the Barker as his Nyamaka, or his mother. So he says he's got three mothers, his grandmother, who reared him, his mother who birthed him, and the river.
The river, that's powerful.
His last mother. And he has to, you know, care for her, and that this fight for water is fight for our family, you know, and it's fighting for that spirit as well.
Yeah. So powerful. So the exhibition been operating since Thursday, 16 March, goes right through to Sunday, 23rd of July, and that's at the Australian Museum.
It is, and even as you come through the space, unfortunately, Uncle's back home. It's hard to get him off his country.
Oh, okay.
So he's not there, but what we do have is a really great audio tour that goes through it, so you can actually listen to Uncle talk about his river, talk about his artwork, talk about all those relationships, and you can experience the exhibition with him, which is really beautiful. And there's also a series of 8 portraits done on mission tin, and that was one of the pieces done by Justine Muller. And with each of those is an accompanying audio from different Wilcannia people, where they talk about, you know, they talk about the river, they talk about how it has been, they talk about its link to their culture and how, you know, they're now aren't even able to drink the water that's, you know, really sustained their people for thousands of years.
Spiritual space.
Throughout the space.
Yeah, spiritual space. Give me goosebumps to listen to the story, but so powerful. It's the third largest river in this country, and it's great to see that First Nation people are at the table, front and centre, in regarding looking after the river, the forgotten river, Barker, to Delhi. Yeah. Courtney, thank you for sharing. Good luck with it all. Please do keep in touch, and big shout out to the mob there.
Will do. Thanks for having us.
To Delhi. Take care.
All right, take care, bye.
Bye-bye. Diddly yarn there, that's Courtney. Courtney Marsh, her name is, Australian Museum First Nations curator, and talking about Barker, the Forgotten River. So the exhibition is up and running, has been since Thursday, 16 March, and goes right through the Sunday, 23rd July, and that's at the Australian Museum. So look, get educated, that's what it's all about, and see it from a black perspective in regard to the owning of the river is the Forgotten River, Barker, known as the Darling River. You mob, have you saying yarn up strong? 1-800-422-416.
The sun is setting and it casts its orange glow along the wind. Though it's in quiet than yesterday, you're not the same. You're acting strange, like I'm used to. Are you confused? Are you confused too? At night, can smell the sweet, sweet notes, and wipe my scrum incense into dust.
Not sure it's really love, but if it's lust, is it taboo if I crawl up to you just like I do when no one's watching us? If I came into love, would you give in to me, get into me, get intimate with me? If I gave in to love, would you give in to me, get into me?
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. I was having a daily yarn with Robert Davis, as the co-founder and program director, Aswan Yintin, First Nations social enterprise keeping young people out of jail through connection to country. We'll try again with Brother Robert. Robert, you there?
Yeah, I am,
yeah,
Trev.
Yeah, lost your cuss, but all good, brother. We just ring you back. That's how we fix it.
Yeah, well, I'm trying, but yeah, I don't know about this technology stuff.
All good, brother. We're yarning up, so thank you for coming back on air and talking about this fantastic program you do. And I said one of the questions I always have is, do the participants need to be from your nation to be part of the program?
Well, no, not necessarily, because okay. When we go to, you know, we go to other people's countries, we got to pay respects to the local people from the local area, you know. So first and foremost, it's open to everybody who wants to learn.
Fantastic, brother. And when young participants join the program, how long does the program operate for, Rob?
As long as, like I say, we don't ever have a closed door policy at Aswan Yintin. We always leave it open because culture is as long as a life, you know, a lifespan. So,
exactly.
So
good
we're
description.
Always learning and we're always teaching too, you know. So get our old people around and. Yeah. And as long as the person wants to be engaged and stay in touch,
that's
really up to the individual, you know. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Now, is there a fee or do the participants pay that or is it funded?
Well, what we try and do is try and get it funded. But as you know, in the history of getting things funded, as in such as programs for culture, like I say, you speak to a lot of people through community. Mm. Culture's a new, you know, slogan that's cruising around the community at the moment. And people don't really understand it from mainstream. So it's really hard to get funding, but where we can, that's why the social enterprise is so important for Aswan Yintin at the moment, because we can try and raise money and raise what we need to then support community and then put the funding to priorities that are determined by community, you know?
Yeah, now, too deadly, brother. And how many crew on board? How many are part of your team there, brother?
We got a small, passionate team of around about 8.
Okay.
That have been doing truckloads of work throughout Noongar Budja, is what we like to say, and trying to make a difference for community. Mm. But as we know, trying to make sure that sustainability as well through pathways that are solutions for our local people. So through justice, DCP space.
Yes,
we really do try and make an impact with a little bit of support. But yeah, it's rewarding. It's rewarding when you see young kids returning home to nans and pops through court orders and stuff like that. That really does put a smile on the team's faces, you know, when we do that. But we couldn't do it without community as well.
Exactly. So, well, it takes a community to raise a child. And look, you're doing your bit. Been running for 8 years, so it must be a proven success, and that it is. But it should be templated across the country. When we're talking about our young ones who lose connection, they've got no foundation and no vision for their future. So it's a powerful thing, my brother.
Yes, and we're trying to, like I say, we've just acquired a block of land, it's about 170 hectares out at not far from, about 10 minutes from the city. So it's pristine bush that we're trying to, we protect and preserve first and foremost, because it's a heritage site for our old stories and it's on a song line. So we try and reconnect families back there and bush being a big part of culture. And it does something to us, you know, as people. We go out the bush and it's healing, you know. So trying to reconnect young people and families to back to our ancient ways is really the priority. But on top of that, Trevor, is trying to make sure that we get buy-in from community, not just from our Noongar community, but the broader community. And given, like I say, we're a passionate charity as well. We run a charity social enterprise set up, but trying to get government in Western Australia, given the justice scope that we're in at the moment, Banksia Hill is a bit of a mess, but we're trying to make sure that they sit up and listen and support in a way that preventative support, not always reactive, you know. So
yeah,
we've got preventative programs that runs, and it's solutions for our people, run by our people. And it's about time that we as a community stand up for rightfully what's respectfully what we need to do for our own mob, and then bring the broader community around us to make sure that it can be sustainable for the future and kids can dream and be the best versions of themselves, you know.
Well, brother, we've got the answers to the problems, the solutions, you know, but it's got to come from the inside out, and that's how I'm picking up with your fantastic program. One Yinti is operating from the inside out, and you can't beat black on black, my brother. You there, Rob? I lost Rob again. Fantastic. Good yarn with Rob. Rob, you there? No, lost Rob. That's Robert Davis, as One Yintin, co-founder and program director, First Nations Social Enterprise, keeping young people out of jail through Connection to Country. Look, they've been operating for 8 years. Sounds like a fantastic operation, and a successful one at that as well. And it's hats off to them. I'll just try again with brother. You there, Rob? Rob, you there? No, I lost Rob. Anyway, good yarning with the lad and Too Deadly. And like I said, template across the country. I spoke of spoke with a brother up in Mariba Way a couple of months ago, and he was looking at doing the same thing. But it should be across this nation, across this country, in regarding getting our young ones connected to culture. They've got no lost their identity, lost their culture, and the warrior of the 21st century is lost, so to speak. So very powerful. Have your saying, Yanup Strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
From My Eyes, No Fixed Address here on your daily program, National Talk Black. I believe we've got Tony Gibbs on the line. Good morning, Tony.
Yeah, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you, brother?
Well, good. I'm glad I got on to you now. There seems to be phone problems all around.
Phone dramas, brother. But yes, light at the end of the tunnel. Talk to me, brother. What's happening?
Well, Mariba's happened.
Yes.
And there hasn't been a lot of talk on it. I saw the TV show and I wanted to have a couple of comments on that, and my sympathies go out to the family.
Yes.
National show, don't know, we've had one of our local North Queensland fellas shot there by the police. My total problem, people I want to talk about, be brave and talk about, is militarisation of the police, and they didn't have body cameras on, and had these four police.
Yeah, it's all under investigation, but yeah, it seems that cameras weren't on, but there is a sad, but we've lost a brother, and condolences and prayers and love going out to the family there in Mariba. But yeah, big time investigation in regards to that. But yeah, it's very, very sad. I know the mob in Mareeba marched the streets there last week, and fighting for justice and what have you, and fighting for the real story and what went down.
Yeah, right, because I can't understand how 15 police didn't have their cameras on, so that stinks of a cover-up somewhere. And I saw the people on the TV there, and one lady asked me, are they frightened of the police? And everybody wrote out, yeah, this fear of the police, it's instilled terror. Mm. It's well documented in the CERD report, Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. Mm. Mareeba Shire gets a real thing. Mm. You know, I've had 30 years trying to seek justice against what happened.
Of course.
Yeah, mate. I've had 30 years trying to seek justice against what happened in Mareeba Shire. And I come on 3 weeks ago and read out all them letters from the government, the bottom line, that couldn't do anything about that. And then I wanted to get back on, and it's just... For national show, people don't know Mareeba Shire. There's a prison up there, Lotus Glen, eh?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yep.
Which, as I understand, is an American business prison. It's privately run, maybe the government contract.
I wouldn't know that, but...
Yeah. That's my understanding. And so the Americans are in charge of that. And I'm wondering if the special forces came from the prison. They're not identifiable either with all their gear on either, which is, you know, like we've had the roll story. And my thing with Mareeba is that our art gallery was rioted against, and there's a law inciting a riot, and it was never tested in law, according to my advice from the CJC. And it says that it is understood that the action of the act referred to is yet to be tested in law, and is unclear if police would be required to initiate such proceedings. I mean, the law in this case has been ridiculous.
Mm.
When the people that attacked us were arrested, they were arrested by a really good policeman. His name was Bob Brennan.
Yep.
And he come on his own in the middle of the night, Sunday night. We ran out of the house and got help. Somebody called. And he come along and he arrested the four of them.
Mm.
And then when we got to the police station eventually, the police said, have you got legal aid? And I sort of said, well, I thought you're our legal aid, you know.
Mm.
And we were really treated like criminals badly up there, put in separate rooms. And she was frightened by what she saw on the computer written about me.
Mm.
And
you're saying you feel as though that it hasn't changed?
Well, it's worse now. Mm.
Okay.
It's worse now. But the whole point is Mareeba Shire has that prison up there, and I've seen a couple of shots, and that's, I guess, the prison that the Queensland government didn't want the United Nations to visit and observe.
Yeah, I remember that. That's right, yeah.
I'm sure that Lotus Glen would be it, because I saw one picture there with all the prisoners in the exercise yard or you know, in formation, and all their backs were turned to the camera, and there were just so many of them.
Mm.
It's an atrocity to see those pictures. And so I'm looking closely at this Donald Trump thing in America where he incited the riot.
Exactly.
But the people about that
Stormy Daniels situation, but at the same time, oil always rises to the top, and no one's above the law.
No one's above the law, but he incited the people to go for the White House,
yeah.
And the people that went there, the rioters, were arrested and charged and put into jail. And that's an ongoing, and it's very relative to what happened to us up in Mount Molloy.
Mm.
The people here weren't charged, because there's a law that says inciting a riot, and one name was mentioned, but the actual rioters that attacked us were not charged with that. They were charged with burglary or some misdemeanor.
Mm.
And it was a what is it called? We're a victim of crimes, you know. And that was our home and business and terrorised and kangaroo court, crown law, cover-up, corruption, perversion and miscarriage of justice. At 30 effing years, using Selkin's language.
Yes.
I've been left in a... And you can't undo what's been done to you in this world.
Exactly.
Mareeba Shire and maybe the crew that was in the shooting came from the prison. We don't know. But if they're Americans and they're in charge of our people here, there's something very wrong there, and there's something very wrong.
It's all a business, isn't it?
Yeah, I just had to say something, mate, because it's just so terrible.
Now, feeling your pain, and thoughts and prayers are going out to the family in Mareeba as well, but all under investigation, but we're watching this very closely. But, Tony, thank you for your call, my brother. We'll talk soon, eh?
Yeah, the phones need come on, want to really get onto them people.
Get their money back, get a refund.
That's what I said, mate, get the money back. They're either not fixing them or they're sabotaging them, so we can't talk. But it's just off the top of my head. Okay. Yeah,
thank you, brother. That's our Tony Gibbs having his say here on your daily program, National Talk Black. It's come to the time where 20 Trev signs off for today's program. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow. That daily number, 1-800-422-416. Thank you for your company, Mobs. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. News coming up very soon via NERS, National Israeli Service. And a big shout out to the NERS team. Thank you very much. And to all our First Nation radio stations across the country, our daily black network. Too deadly.